Yürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürürür Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. After a long interregnum, we resume our series, Await. We've learned quite a bit over the last 17 episodes. Today you'll learn something new, very much predicated on the things we've learned already. Let's go back to the beginning of the 11th chapter, the Laws of Kings. This is the final set of halachot in the Rambam's magnum opus Mishneh Torah. The Rambam Maimonides begins with a discussion about that anointed, appointed, long-awaited king who is going to bring peace and prosperity to our fractured, pain-filled globe. It seems that Maimonides begins with a set of requisites, almost the functions of, so what is Mashiach supposed to do? HaMelech HaMashiach Chosid Lamed U'Lahachzir Malchus Beis David L'Yeshna. Mashiach's mission, his purposes, his actions will be oriented towards restoring the Davidic monarchy to its former glory. HaMemshalah HaRishayna. After all, in the time when David HaMelech had brought absolute peace and prosperity to the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, and everybody was able to serve Hashem without any kind of obstacle or impediment. Ubeina HaMikdash, Mashiach will be the one to rebuild the Holy Temple. Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, he will gather the dispersed of Israel. V'chozrin kol ha-mishpatim b'yomov. All of the ordinances of Torah will be restored in his days, kishohoyu mikoidem, as they once were. Well, there you have it. So Mashiach's, what are his functions? His function is the restoration of the Davidic monarchy, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and the ingathering of the exiles. That's how Halacha Aleph starts. When we go to Halacha Dalet, the Rambam now describes a scenario in real time. What might this look like? Ve'im, says Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon HaSfardi. Yamid melech mebeis David. If a monarch rises from the house of David HaMelech. Now, what kind of monarch is this? He's a hoga betorah v'osik b'mitzvahs. We're getting practical now. We have to be able to identify this person. So Rambam says this is not a political leader. This is not going to be some kind of secular war hero. This is going to be a person who is immersed in the Torah, study of Torah. And he will be dedicated absolutely to the performance of mitzvot, Ki David Aviv, like his ancestor, King David. King David's legacy for us is his book of Psalms, his songs of prayers to God. We revere King David not for his military prowess or might, but for his piety and scholarship. I say we, the Torah community. We have an authentic tradition about who David HaMelech was. And this is Kifi Torah Shebichtov U'Shebal Peh, in accordance with the biblical and oral traditions. Now, Rambam tells us, V'yakoif kol Yisrael leilachba. He's not just going to be a paragon of perfection himself, but rather he's going to be a person of significant influence. He will almost coerce, or by the force of his charisma, push the Jewish people towards observance. To walk in the ways of Torah, l'chazik bidka, to strengthen its structure. And here the Rambam says something very interesting. V'yelochem milchames Hashem. He is going to fight the wars of God. In other words, when Mashiach arrives, he's not going to be embraced by everybody. There's going to be a battle on his hands. The dark forces are not simply going to collapse or melt before him. So there's going to be a battle, a struggle, and he'll do what he has to do. He's going to fight this war. The Rambam says, this is looking like Mashiach. Hareza b'chezkas shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach. He may indeed be the likely person that we've been waiting for. And then the Rambam says, im osa v'etzliach, if he engages in a whole range of activities successfully, v'nitzach kol ha'umois shebesivivav, he is victorious over all those who would oppose the restoration of Malchus Beis David, those around, nations around. And then the Rambam says, Ubonam Migdash b'mekoymai, and he builds a Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash. V'kibetz Nidche Yisrael, and he gathers the dispersed of Israel. Hareze Mashiach b'vadei. So here's a curious little question. When the Rambam opens, when he begins to describe what is going to happen, the functions of Mashiach, he talks about the restoration of the monarchy of David HaMelech. He talks about the building of the Holy Temple. And he talks about the ingathering of the exiles. He doesn't say anything about wars. He doesn't say anything about a struggle. And yet, when the Rambam narrates this in real time, there's an emphasis not only on the kind of person that he will be, which Rambam hasn't talked about before, but then again, before, he didn't have to tell you about his persona because we weren't maybe wondering what kind of person is he, so we identify the right individual. He says, HaMashiach Asid Lamed, this is what Mashiach will do. Here, the Rambam has to tell us a little bit about him. How else are we supposed to recognize Mashiach? So he says it's going to be Kfi Torah Shebachsav, a Torah Shebapeh. But then he says it's not only about he himself being a paragon of perfection and piety, but rather as a person of influence. He's going to, by the force of his charisma, he's going to influence everybody else to follow him. And here the Rambam says he's going to fight wars and battles. So that seems to be one of the functions of Mashiach. Because once he's fighting those wars, we still don't know if he's certainly the Mashiach. When do we know he's the Mashiach with certainty? Im osa v'hitzliach, he's successful at influence, presumably. V'nitzach, and he's victorious. Curiously, the Rambam leaves out the business of going to war, of being involved in some kind of struggle. Why? Does this not seem to be a glaring discrepancy? I've seen people who have written up kind of a synopsis of what these opening lines in the 11th chapter of Rambam are talking about, and they'll say things like the functions of Mashiach or the promised Mashiach. Well, if that's the case, there seems to be something missing. Now, I mean, to be sure, the Rambam doesn't include every detail. For example, in Mor Nevuchim, in the, I guess, middle of the fourth chapter, the Rambam also tells us where he's going to rise. Here he just says, HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod, he will rise. And then later in Halacha Dalet, Ve'im Ya'amod, doesn't talk about location. You know, location is a pretty important little detail. In Igeret Teiman, the Rambam says that Amidat HaMashiach will be B'tchilo Yerah Be'eretz Yisrael. He's going to rise in Israel. The rise of Mashiach will be in Israel. Rama makes that very clearly. Interestingly, in the commentary of Radvaz, Rabbeinu David ben Zimra, on the Rambam's Laws of Sanhedrin, Ecclesiastical High Court, chapter 14, the end of Halacha 13, the Radvaz adds that Osid HaMashiach, and he's quoting our sages, Ligalot Tchila B'Galil. He'll be in what the world calls today Galilee. And he says, it is possible. Radvaz doesn't say this with certainty. He says it's efsher. Shoyismoch bet din hagadol b'Tveria, that he will ordain a high court in Tiberias, which is the last place that the Sanhedrin convened, because that's kind of close to the Galil. So we have a tradition in the Galil, and Radva says, this might be Tiberias. In the Zohar, incidentally, it says, Ara de Galil is Tzfat. So Mashiach will first appear in Tzfat, or maybe Tiberias. And even though Tiberias, at the time of Radvaz's writing, in the 13th century, was not an well-inhabited city, he says, even though it's Chareva, he'll rebuild the city of Tiberias. And then, from there, Ya'alu l'Yerushalayim. So the Rambam doesn't include those details. Okay, that's not really a question. The Rambam's not going to give you all the details in Halacha. He's not going to tell you every single prat, every single nuance which the Rambam himself or other sages spoke about. This is a synopsis. This is very concise. It's Mishneh Torah. The Rambam measures his words. But here, when the Rambam talks about Mashiach, he mentions nothing about a struggle or a battle. You would not know that there's any war involved here. Simply restoration of Davidic monarchy, building of Migdash, and gathering of exiles. Three things. And later Rambam includes a very significant fourth, and he mentions it twice, both in a dynamic sense, as in v'yilochem, he will prosecute the struggle, and then im osa v'hitzliach v'nitzach, he speaks about his victory. Now, if you've been following the series, it's actually fairly simple to understand that there is no discrepancy. Because the Rebbe has demonstrated to us, and I've shared it with you in multiple ways, how when the Rambam describes Mashiach at the outset of this chapter, he is not talking about the functions of Mashiach, but rather he is describing or giving you a definition of Mashiach. Not Mashiach's functions, Mashiach's purpose. Not what he will do. What is his essence? The essence of Mashiach, as the Rebbe put it, is Shlemut HaTorah VaHaMitzvah. Perfection in Torah and Mitzvahs. Perfection in Torah and Mitzvahs requires a Davidic monarchy. Perfection in Torah and Mitzvahs requires a Beit HaMikdash. And perfection in Torah and Mitzvahs requires all of the tribes of Israel living in their rightful provinces. So when the Jewish people are dispersed across the globe, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and if we have no Malchus, we have no monarchy, no Davidic monarchy, it's not possible to fulfill the Torah mitzvahs. Simple as that. And because the essence of Mashiach is Choizin Kol HaMishpatim B'Yomav, all of the ordinances will come back as they were in days of old. That's why the Rambam doesn't have to talk about a battle or a struggle. Simply stated, a battle or a struggle are a bridge to cross. That's not the destination. Suppose there wouldn't be a river, then you wouldn't need a bridge. I need to get to that side of the river. Whether I took a boat, a helicopter, or swam, the important thing was the destination, not how I got there. In fact, once you will start to try to identify this person, say, so who is this Mashiach? Is that Mashiach? And by the way, in the Rambam's time, there was a man in Yemen who rose and declared himself to be Mashiach. The Rambam writes Igeret Teiman to disprove this person who he calls a maniac's claims. So we can't give credence to maniacal claims. We have to have a sense of clarity. This is halachic. This is relevant. In the beginning, the halacha is about what we're awaiting. Later, the halacha is about how we will identify. What we're awaiting is not a warrior. What we're awaiting is perfection in Torah and mitzvahs. Mashiach is not the person who will end global hunger. He is not the person who will end antisemitism and wars and unhealthy competition. I mean, he will, but that's not the essence of Mashiach. In theory, it would be possible for world hunger to be solved another way. And if you found a panacea to antisemitism, it doesn't mean you don't need Mashiach. That's not the purpose of Mashiach. Those are fringe benefits. The essence of Mashiach is a perfect relationship with the Creator. And that's achieved through perfection in Torah and mitzvahs. So the Rebbe says there really is no discrepancy. And here, it gets really interesting. The Rebbe directs us to the commentary of the Bayit Chodesh of the Bach in Or HaChaim, which is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, chapter 119. It's talking about the blessings of the Shmona Esrei. And we're trying to have clarity as to why it is that in a blessing called Uvenei Yerushalayim, we're talking about the throne of David HaMelech. Doesn't David HaMelech first rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Or the chair of David already get occupied? I mean, isn't Mashiach the one to do those things? So if Mashiach came and he rebuilt Yerushalayim, why would we have to say, V'chisei David, that the throne of David HaMelech is established? So the Bach says this. He says, Kasher Yivne Yerushalayim, after the Jewish people will be restored to Eretz Yisrael in Messianic times, and Yerushalayim will be built. And that means that Yibone Betocho Beit HaMikdosh. And Beit HaMikdosh is not just a function of our efforts, because we do our part. Ultimately, it is God who graces the Beit HaMikdosh with its meaning. And the divine presence is there. But Ozi says, after Hashem comes back to the Beis HaMikdash, Kishenivne Yerushalayim u Beis HaMikdash, Hine Oz David bo v'yoshev al kisel, then David can ascend his throne. Kemosha hagun lemelech. He says, this is how it should be for a king. Sheyeh yoshev al kisei malchuto be'ir mamlachto. He should assume the throne of his kingdom in the capital city. But he can't assume a throne when there is no kingdom or no capital city. And this is why, says the Bach, v'lirushalayim ircha berachamim toshuv. We say, and to Jerusalem with great mercy you will return. V'tishkon b'tocha, and you will dwell in the city of Yerushalayim, which has nothing to do with skyscrapers and beautiful hotels and restaurants and office buildings and fantastic neighborhoods and residences. That has nothing to do with Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim that we are talking about is about the v'tishkon. It's about Shechina. It's about God's presence. Kasher dibarta, not as we decide or think God's presence should look, as God said his presence would be. And that's in the Beit HaMikdash. So this is obviously kolel binyan ha'ir u'binyan habayis bechlolei. This includes the city of Yerushalayim that we pray for, that we yearn for, that we await. It's not the city of Yerushalayim today, although it's a larger, more beautiful municipality than perhaps it ever has been before in history. What we're waiting for is the Shechina, my friends, God's presence. And then, after the city is established, and then he says, then we ask for V'chisei David Mehera B'tocha Tochen, then establish the throne of David HaMelech. In other words, once the city is in place, we can have a throne for David HaMelech to occupy. So, doesn't Mashiach build the Beis HaMikdash? How is it that he only occupies his throne after the Beis HaMikdash is already built? In an incredible letter about the coming of Mashiach, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Sholem Dovber. This is an Igros Kedush in the books of his sacred correspondence. It's on page 311. First, the quote. He says, "Vadai, it's without a doubt kibbutz galuyot that the ingathering of the exiles yia ayde Mashiach. Of course, it'll be through Mashiach." And he says, "Achar kibbutz galuyot, after all of the Jewish people, all of the nation of Israel is gathered together, then there will be Giluyim de Mashiach. Then there will be a revelatory experience." He's talking in spiritual terms now. He says, "Zehu inyan malchut Beit David." This is the idea of the monarchy. In other words, the Rebbe Rashab is making a strong point of distinction between Mashiach, the monarch, and the messianic monarchy. There is Melech HaMashiach, and then there is the Malchus. A little later on in the letter, The Rebbe writes, this does no way in contradict the Rambam. The Rambam wrote Mashiach Yivne Beis HaMikdash, that Mashiach will build the Beit HaMikdash. And here we seem to be saying that Mashiach is only after the Beis HaMikdash is already built. And he says, and I quote, the Vadai Bias Mashiach Kodem Lebinyan Yerushalayim. It is with absolute certainty that the arrival of Mashiach precedes the building of Yerushalayim and the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, Binyan HaMikdash. And these things will be Al Yedei Mashiach. He will be the one who spearheads the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It is Mashiach who will be the one who brings about the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. Va'al Yodai, and it'll be by the hand and under the tutelage of Mashiach that it'll be Kibbutz Golias. Va'oz, says the Rebbe Rashab, va'oz, only then acharkach malchuto, then comes the monarchy. There is the man who is a monarch, and then there is his messianic monarchy. They're not one and the same. And that's called Malchut David. And the Rebbe Rashab says, if you take a look in the Gemara, in Meseches Megillah, and this is really quite fascinating, that the Gemara over there is describing what will happen when the Mashiach comes. This is on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis, at the very end of the page. So earlier in the Gemara, it says that B'matzoi Shvi'it, for example, it says just after the seventh year when the land of Israel lies fallow, Ben David Ba. That's when the son of David comes. But at the end, the Gemara says, speaking about the city of Yerushalayim, V'kivon shenivnat Yerushalayim Ba David. That's when David comes. And the Rebbe Rashab explains, he says, in many places, our sages refer to Ben David. The coming of Mashiach is, when will Ben David come? And here we have this unusual expression, Ba David. And the Rebbe Rashab maintains that this seeming discrepancy in the language that our sages used is actually extremely precise. Because what's really happening here is that Ben David refers to Mashiach himself. Ba David refers to the monarchy of Mashiach. And he says, Korev HaDover Lemer, it's most likely to suggest and say, She'oz Yitosef Ma'alebo, when the monarchy is completed, there's an enhancement within the persona of Mashiach as monarch as well. So this is quite fascinating. In Lakut HaSichus, where, I mean, this is all based on a footnote from a very, very well-known Sicha that we've spent quite a bit of time delving into on Parshas Balak. But the Rebbe suggests further that this difference between Ben David and David could be framed in Maimonidean prose by the Mashiach who is Cheskas Mashiach. He says that's Ben David and then Mashiach Vadai. So Rambam is not rejecting those ideas. Rambam is actually alluding to those ideas. And now it all just makes so much sense. So, in summation, today you've learned that when we talk about the coming of Mashiach, and when we yearn and await for the coming of Mashiach, we're first yearning and awaiting for a monarch, Mashiach, to come and do his thing. Ultimately, that will lead us into the monarchy of Mashiach. And once the monarchy is fully established, the monarch is elevated and uplifted as well, and with him, all of Am Yisrael, and for that matter, the entire world will be uplifted into a marvelous new era of universal peace and prosperity, a world awash in God consciousness and the awareness of our Creator. May we experience this blissful time, b'mheira ubi'ameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining today.